I got saved May 21st, 2011, and gave my life to God. And I've been walking on that path ever since. Saved, sanctified, amen, filled with the Holy Ghost, dance across the pulpit, speaking in tongues. God has done it all for me. Do I always feel saved? Sunday, getting up, getting a shower so I can get ready for church. Get a phone call from one of my nephews. See, all my family's not saved. And he says, "Hey, man." I said, what's up, Ray? What's going on?" He said, "Man, somebody gave Uncle Buster some fentanyl." That's my brother. Buster's my brother. I said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, they put some, because my brother's still out there on dope. I've been trying to reach my brother. He's 363 days older than me, not even a year. We slept in the same bed for a lot of years, wore the same clothes, played on the same teams. We came up living life together. Sometimes he frustrates me real bad because I can't reach him." And so I said, "What?" They said he was on the corner, Monroe and Lewis. He was laying on this porch, and his body was all contorted up. And he was stripped down to nothing but his boxers. No socks or no nothing. So immediately, I said, "Okay, hold on. I'm on my way." So I call my brother, my other brother, and the word got around pretty quick. You know, I love my brother. I wasn't always saved. I didn't always know God. I came up running the games, the black gangster disciples. I came up a ruffian. I came up a dope fiend. I came up a person that did anything that presented itself. Any opportunity I took. So the first thing I think, I told my wife, "Hey, so I'm going down here. This is EMS that's coming down. So I'm headed down here to find Buster. It's my brother." And I called my brother, and he says, "Man, he's, I'm gonna kill whoever did that." See, my brother, he's not saved either yet. He said, "I'm gonna kill whoever did that." You know, and I got, and if you know, some of you might know the Kelso men. I may seem like I'm kind of big, but I look up to a lot of them. You know, I got nephews and stuff stand like this, you know, pistol toters, ready to go. So now, my first thought was, "I'm going down here. I'm going down here. Whatever we got to do, I'm going down here." You know, I began to pray. See, it's something in watching the men of God go through things and listen to the testimonies of the men of God that will keep you. The Bible says we are overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the words of our testimony. So I brought some of the men in here, some men of God, go through some things. So when I get ready to go, I get my walker out. I can't even walk hardly. And now I got a pump shotgun at home. Got a rifle over to my brother's house. I got a 38 over to my brother's house. And my wife has a 38 in the house. And I'm walking to the door, and I'm trying to fight my emotions. Marvin, I'm trying to hold back my emotions. You know, you did my brother like this. I'm trying to fight back, because, you know, here I come. My wife said, "Here." Now, she's got a little 38. She put pink pistol grips on it. You know, she said, "Here, take Pinky with you." Now listen, my wife loves me. My wife is saved. But the Bible talks about us and Peter knowing our wives as being a weaker vessel. And that's not saying nothing bad. See, because my wife was looking at things from the way things happen. And in that, and me going down that corner that at that time of night, I need some protection. But she didn't know. I got protection with me. I got God. But I told my brother, I said, hey, don't get down there before me. I said, in fact, come and get me. See, because my brother's hot-headed. My brother's about 6'5", probably 275 at least. And I said, man, and he's fit to be tied. He comes to get me, and I see his weapons in the car. And I get in the car, and I get down there, and I got a son built like somebody you see on WWE, and he's always angry. They live for this. You know, they had heard the stories about Uncle Al or his father back in the day, what I used to be. And I'm not that no more. Then I got another nephew. He's up at about this tall. He's up there. When he was 17, he had broke his little brother. The police was messing with his little brother. And he came out, and he broke the police's collarbone and all kind of stuff. We come from a group of ruffians. You know, my father taught me some things that I thought was right. But when I got born again, I realized some of the things I learned wasn't the right things. My father told us, if one of y'all fight, all y'all fight. Yeah. My father told us, when he hit the ground, put your feet on him. I was proud of those things. But when I got saved and I got born again, I don't live by those principles. I don't live by those standards. But there's my brother. Same guy who rescued me so many times as a child. Same brother that slept in the same bed with me a lot of years. I don't know if my brother's alive. I don't know if my brother's dead. I don't know if he's messed up. So we get down to the lot. We all hit about the same time. And in the crowd that knew us, I heard somebody holler, uh-oh, here they come. I told you them Kelsaws was coming. So I told you they was coming. And the one girl that knew me looked up, oh, and they were loud. Oh, man, y'all better look out. My mind, I see my son, my nephews, my brother, they stopped for bear, and I can't find my brother. And the first thing they holler, who did this? Who did it? Who did it? And now I'm praying, and I'm telling my brother, Lance, I said, hold it. I said, put the guns down. Put that stuff away. I said, because for one thing, my brother chose to live this life. See, Marvin, there's some things that come with that life. Now, you can't be a dog catcher and don't expect sometime to get bit or scratched. You can't be a bee handler and think sometime you're not going to get stung. Yeah. That goes with that life. Yep. You can't live a dope fiend's life and think the dope fiend things aren't going to happen to you. Because that's just not the way it is. I'm trying to encourage somebody who used to be out there that's in the room tonight. Don't go back. Because you never know. I got a friend, Ernest, died from that fentanyl. I got a friend, Crystal Schaefer, died from that fentanyl. I got a friend, D.D. Paxton, died from that fentanyl. You don't know. And they've been out there for years. You would think, you tell what, it ain't even happened to me, because I know you don't know. But we're down here on this corner. Get out my truck, and everybody's coming up to me talking. And I told my people, I said, hold it, man. First off, I told my brother, I said, okay, if he's gone, I said, are we going to lose you too? I said, because if you do what you're thinking about doing, we're going to lose you too. I said, you get married September the 17th. In fact, I'm marrying him September 17th. And I said, so you just going to give away Kelly? You give away your wife? You done? Look at them, are you done? I said, because that's what's next. I said, that's what's next. I say, we down here strong. But everybody else got guns too. Like the Cowboys. We start shooting back and forth. Who's going to be? What's going to happen? So I calmed it down. And I went and tried to find my brother. I went to every hospital in town. They wouldn't give me the information. One hospital said, well, he's not here right now. What does that mean? What does that mean? He's not here right now. So I explained to them the story that came to me. And I'm down here to try to see about my brother and try to keep some peace and try to get some order and try to live saved. See, I didn't feel saved. Being saved isn't about a feeling. See, I want to get my shotgun too. I didn't feel saved, Mick. But I am saved.
Amen.
It's not about a feeling. It's about a way of life.
Yeah.
It's about you raise a standard up. God will raise a standard up in you. That when the enemy comes against you as a flood, you'll be able to stand to it. But then I started getting frustrated because they wouldn't tell me nothing. I said, you say he's not here now. I said, well, was he here? And the lady looks at me. Now, I may have been a referee and a dumb guy, all that stuff. I've been to college. I'm a college graduate. You know, all A's graduated on the D's list. Graduated with honors. I'm not stupid. I said, well, ma'am, can you tell me if he came through here? And she says, well, I have no way of knowing. There's a computer sitting in front of her. Now, Mick, I'm really not feeling saved. See, because this is the point. 20 years ago, well, I'd have grabbed her by her hair and pulled her through the window. See, this is that point. See, and then some of you may think I'm kidding, but some of you know me. I'd have grabbed her by her hair and pulled her through that window. This is what that time is right now. But I'm fighting. I'm fighting. I have to be a testimony. I've got to be an example. I got to let somebody see Christ in me. And I looked at her, I said, ma'am, I said, I'm not stupid. I said, there's no way someone came through here this morning and you treated him and he's not in that computer right there. Oh, I don't have access to pull that up. And I turned and walked out because sometimes we got to flee. When Potiphar's wife grabbed Joseph's coat, now, Joseph knew if I stick around too long, temptations might overtake me. They might overcome me. So Joseph took off and ran, and he left his coat. See, the word teaches us the way we got to do. So I had to take off and run. Now, Carl, I didn't want to run. I'm looking for my brother. And I know people who have died from that fentanyl. And when the girl was talking to me, she said he was laying on the porch and it's like all jacked up, you know. Look, you know, he couldn't stand up and all this, you know. I'm excited inside. My emotions were full. But somebody has to live a right life. If you either I live God for God, see, I didn't just give my life to God. I gave my will to God. See, too many of us, too many times, I gave my life to God, but I kept my will. Living for God and doing anything I wanted to do. And that just didn't work. So I called everywhere. He's not in the hospitals. So I called Parkview Behavioral to see if they got him down there. I called the coroner's office. I called Parkview Behavioral. And the lady said, well, I can't tell you if he's here or not. She said, against the law for me to tell you. Now, Mick, I'm not trying to hear that. I said, ma'am, I told her the story I just told you. And where I was at, and I just want to know if my brother's still living, if he needs us, what is going on? And she says, and she heard, I guess, the passion in my voice. And she said, listen. She said, I can't tell you that by law. She said, but this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to check his chart to see if he left permission for somebody to talk. Now, but I'm hot-headed. I didn't catch it the first time. See, all them A's in college just didn't ring for me the first time. I needed a straight answer. I needed somebody to tell me, quick, now she's already doing more than she's supposed to be doing. Hey, Mick, can you give me a tissue, please?
Sure.
And I'm already doing what she's supposed to be doing. And so she says, I tell you what, sir. She said, I'm going to give you a number to the crisis intervention division. You call that number and tell them what you told me and have them ping his telephone. And they'll tell you where he is.
There you go.
Or you can have them call us. And we can tell them, and they can tell you. So finally, I'm getting somewhere. I call the thing, and I tell the lady the story and all this, and she says, "Well, I can't ping the phone just so you can find your brother. Now, listen, I'm getting ready to get back up to 10 again. You know, I haven't cursed in a long time. But now I'm ready, because I'm at my wit's end." And I said, "Well, ma'am, I just called out there, and they told me to have you do this. So obviously, you have done this before. Or they wouldn't have said that." I said, "Well, ma'am, well, why don't you call them and you call me back?" I'm sorry, I can't do that, this and that, this and that. And I made a real bad comment to her. I didn't curse her out, but I told her, go ahead, sit there and finish your box of donuts and I'll find it myself. You know.
About the donuts in it.
But, I mean, because I'm trying not to say nothing wrong. I'm trying not to say nothing crazy. So I can't find him. But then I realized, wait a minute, I called her back. And she said, "Well, I checked his record and there's nothing in there giving consent." So now I caught it this time, Mick. Oh, okay, he's in there. Mm-hmm. He's in there. But I don't know if he can talk. I don't know if he can walk. I don't know anything. I don't know the state of what my brother's in. So I'm still curious. Now, I got a friend I've been running with for 50 years. In fact, he came here and spoke. The one that talked about Hard Time Mississippi. And not, that guy. Over 50 years, we've been best friends. He said, "You know, my sister works out there. I've been on his sister for 50 years, too." I said, "Yeah. Yeah, that was afternoon." He said, "She get off work about 2. I'll call her." I said, "Okay." I go over his house about 3-something, pick him up, and he's him horn. He's him horn. He's him horn. I said, "Well, did you talk to her?" "Well, she don't get off till 4-something. Huh?" Now he could have texted her, and she could have texted him back. You know, nobody's going to know that. So now, I'm looking sideways at him. You know, and I got a nightstick in my car right now with lead in the end of it. Sitting right there by my right hand. I mean, I don't look to start no trouble, but if you ever reach your hand in my car at night and I'm with my wife or something, I'm trying to protect, man, you're going to get all that nightstick. You know what I mean? Now I'm looking at this thing because now I'm frustrated. I'm frustrated. See, but I had to learn to know God as a keeper and not just as a savior. See, God will keep you if you desire to be kept. But you have to desire to be kept. So I purposely kept him with me. I purposely kept him with me till after 4. I said, "Go ahead and call." "Well, man, I'll call her and then he said she might not tell us anyway, you know, because she ain't supposed to." Now, I'm not trying to hear that. This is somebody I've been running with 50 some years. Well, there's no way I'm gonna know your brother's in here and I'm not gonna tell you. There's no way. So now I'm ready to excommunicate the friendship and everything. Ready to pull them all out. He said, "Lyle, let me tell you something." I said, "What's that?" I've heard this from 2 other pastors in the last 11 years. He said, "Loyalty means more to you than it does to most people." He said, "Everybody's not as loyal to you as you are to them." So I took him and dropped him off. Right now, I don't know where my brother is. I don't know how he is. I know he's in Park Center. And I just believe whatever it is. I have to. And that's why I said, and I know the Lord. Tongue speaking. I know the Lord. Filled with the Holy Ghost. But I didn't feel saved. There were times between yesterday and today, I didn't feel saved. I wanted to go. I'm telling you, I wanted to snatch that lady through the window. I mean, I could see the motion. I could see the motion. I seen a clear path where her feet and everything would have came straight through the window. And I just can't do that because I don't want to give away my wife. If I do that, then I just gave away my wife because I'm going back to prison. With all the years I've done in prison, I'm going back. And at my age, I'm not guaranteed to come out. And if I do come out, what kind of quality of life am I going to have? I'm not going to give away my wife to ignorance. Not giving away my grandbaby to ignorance. I'm not giving away my ministry to ignorance. I'm not giving away my salvation for ignorance. I don't care what nobody says because I love my brother, but my brother made choices. He made those choices. I couldn't make it for him. I went and got him time and time again and brought him home. And he always run back to the same corner. And I refuse to give up everything God has given me. I refuse to let you read in the paper, Lyle Kelsaw shot so-and-so. Lyle Kelsaw pulled nurse through the window. You're not getting ready to read that. You're not getting ready to read that from me. You know? No, I go through tears. I cry about it because I'm hurt and I want to know. But here's the thing. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Amen. Acknowledge him in all your ways and he'll direct your path. How can I preach it if I can't live it? Amen. How can I tell somebody God can keep them and he can't keep me? You know, so I want to share that tonight. I'm glad I got a chance to get that off my chest tonight. I wasn't supposed to speak tonight. But somebody here ought to hear that. Because somebody here is still thinking about it. Yeah, I'm in the half house. I got a few hundred dollars saved up and this and that. And steady hold the reserve. That's like I used to do, making reservations for tomorrow. Making reservations when I get out. I'm going to go by and see John or Tippy and see what they're doing and say hi. Making reservations for that life. You're not guaranteed to come out again. If you're out, stay out. Never leave peace to go to chaos. Right now, you're in peace. Don't leave peace to go to chaos. No, because once the ritual starts, it's hard to break it. I've been there. I've been sitting there in prison toward the end of my bit, starting to save my money. So when I get out, I got a good lick. One time I got out on August the 8th, and I was sitting in jail. October the 8th, and I was sitting in jail October the 9th. I got busted down at Bars Walk in.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean?
I know what you're talking about.
And then I did what I always did, the old dope fiend like me. I called my pastor and told him, I said, you got to hurry up and get me out before the parole officer find out I'm here. Now, my pastor, who was my best friend, Pastor Paul Taylor, if any of y'all know him, they called my name a little while later, and I get out there, there's Pastor Paul Taylor and his father. His father was a pastor, too. Father blind, he picked me up and hugged me. Now, when they got me out, I did what a good crackhead, dope fiend convict would do. I absconded. I absconded. I left my home of address because now I'm going on the run. I'm going on the run. And that's another story for another day. But I was on the run for a couple years. I had moved to the town of Westfield with this woman guard. She came and got me. She's been watching me while I was locked up. She came and got me. And I was living a quarter mile from the prison with all four warrants everywhere. You know? Going to church, acting. See, because I used to think, I got to say this, I used to think that if people thought I was saved, then I was saved. If I could fool somebody, that was good enough. So I was going to her church, and she bought me some nice suits and shoes and going on. I'm up in the church, and I'm all holy rolling. I'm doing my thing, and they speaking for me. So finally, I decide I'm going to turn myself in and get this off my back. I've been gone a couple years. I never reported to the parole officer. So I get down, I come home, turn myself in. Parole officer came down, talked to me for a minute and left because I wasn't nothing to talk about. Then I went to court. I was going to take it to trial. The day of the trial, I changed my mind. The coward that I used to be, I changed my mind. So I go into court. And as I'm going to court, I'm going to tell you something. You can fool people, but you can't fool God. Because I was going to court. And as I was going to court, there was 20 odd people in the courtroom to speak up for me. Everybody from the town of Westville and the town of Chesterton and Hard Rock Concrete, the place I was working, had came here with letters because I was actually speaking in the church. But I didn't know God, I didn't know how to hold on. See, my character took me. I mean, not that, my gifts took me where my character couldn't keep me. Listen to that, somebody.
Yep.
That's free. My gifts took me where my character couldn't keep me. Today, I have a character.
Amen.
Today, I refuse to go back.
Amen.
I refuse to go back. No matter, life is going to happen to you. It's going to happen to everybody in this room. Life is going to happen to all of us. But there's no need for me ever to go back to that old gang-banging, dope fiend, pervert, whatever you want to call it, I used to be. There's no need for me to ever go back to that. I want to live saved. I want to walk for the Lord. I want somebody to say, when they have me laying across this altar, in that box, I'm closed with this. I want somebody to look down in that box and say, boy, that was a fool right there. That was a fool. But you know what? He got it right in the end. And because of him, I'm saved. It's not how you start, but how you finish.
Amen.
God bless you.
Amen.